Here's an oldie but a goodie from the archives from the Side Hustle Show Greatest Hits Collection. This is the Financial Independence Fast Track, how to replace your salary by buying mini businesses. What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, because when income from assets you control exceeds your monthly expenses, that's when you're free. That was one of the big eye-opening lessons for me as an impressionable youth reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and actually playing his cash flow board game as well. It's a call to build or buy income-producing assets and to keep your expenses low. And of course, there are lots of different paths to that ultimate goal of escaping the rat race. Building your business, investing in real estate, even traditional stock market investing can get you there. But today on the show, I want to focus on a specific asset class that might have one of the fastest returns. I'm joined by Stacy Caprio from her.ceo, who was desperate, in her words, to leave her day job. And she ended up doing just that after acquiring and improving a portfolio of mini online businesses, websites that make money from advertising, in her case, that now earn a few thousand dollars a month. For her, that was enough to leave her job. Now, this asset class can be risky, and we'll get into some of Stacy's early mistakes, but if you have some online skills or management skills to bring people in, if you don't want to run it yourself, this can be a fast track to the cash flow you need to fund your lifestyle, perhaps 10 to 15 times faster than if you were to rely solely on traditional investments and a standard 4% withdrawal rate. That's exciting, but there's some risk that goes into it. So stick around to hear where Stacy finds these businesses to buy, her unique filtering criteria, and a few quick ways she's been able to accelerate the cash flow of her portfolio for even better returns. Notes and links from this episode, plus a free PDF highlight reel with all of Stacy's top tips from the call, are at sidehustlenation.com/Stacy. That's S-T-A-C-Y. I promise she delivers the goods in this episode. Stacy got the idea that buying websites could be her ticket to freedom, reading sites like Side Hustle Nation and Niche Pursuits by Spencer Hawes, and she decided to jump in. Her first purchase didn't go as planned, though. She bought a site on Flippa.com, F-L-I-P-P-A, for $1,300, expecting it to make, as the seller said it did, $350 a month, chipping away at those monthly expenses, right? Well, it turns out the seller was lying. Discouraged, but not defeated, she was determined to learn from that experience and try again. I'll be back with my top takeaways from this call with Stacy after the interview. Ready? Let's do it.
I was a little bit discouraged more with myself for not doing the due diligence. And I think every time you make a website purchase of this nature, you learn so much. I recommend really starting small, but letting each thing you learn just come with you, and you'll be able to start making really good purchases after you've made a few smaller purchases. And once you know what to look for, you'll be able to build on that. But my second site was actually a mistake too. I didn't start making good decisions until my third site. So my second site, I had learned a lot. So I only looked at sites with verified revenue again and verified analytics. So I wasn't going to let anyone scam me or lie to me about that part of the business. And I actually spent a lot more. I spent $10,000 on this site, and I think it was making around $500 a month. So it was about a 20 times multiple. And I knew everything was legit, but I made the mistake of purchasing a fad site. So it was based on an app. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Wordwhizzle Answers app. That was an app that was popular a few years ago, but applications are only popular for about 6 months or so, and then their traffic just dives down. So I was actually able to double the revenue by switching to a different ad network that I knew had higher revenue for that niche. Started making $1,000 a month for like 2 or 3 months, and I was really happy.
Okay. You're like, hey, this is working out well. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, hey, look at me. I learned quickly. But I guess not, because it turned out that the site was based on an application whose popularity dived after I'd had the site 6 months. I think I ended up making back maybe $6,000 on the site. I really did end up losing about $4,000 or so on it. So I guess the next lesson I learned is, not to buy the fad sites.
Yeah, so we're kind of building this criteria through experience, revenue verified analytics around an evergreen topic. So you're not going to be subject to this fad spike in search traffic and then it dies off. Anything else that you filter by or that you look for on Flippa?
Yeah, I'll take you through the filter process I use when I'm looking for sites to buy. First, I filter by expired listings. So I'm viewing old sites that are listed for sale that never sold the first time. Live bidding drives prices up way past what you should be paying. And then I also filter by sites that make revenue through AdSense, since I know how to quickly increase revenue by AdSense, by switching networks, by testing ad placement, and then by doing some quick SEO optimizations, including quickly optimizing for site speed.
Okay. Okay. So saying just like real estate, I'm going to take this fixer-upper and apply my skills and knowledge to it and make my money back a little bit faster.
Exactly. And so once I find a site that has both of those filters and is making maybe $500 or above a month in AdSense, then I'll contact the owner through Flippa and I'll ask them to add me to the Google Analytics. Once they reply and add me to the analytics, I have some Google Analytics checks that I do to determine the site quality and just to determine that the site is actually what it says it is. First, I'll just check that the verified page views and traffic numbers match the Flippa numbers. Next, I expand the Google Analytics to the beginning of the site's existence, and then I look for huge traffic drops or warning signs. And if there's anything that stands out, I'll ask the owner about it. Sometimes there's a good explanation, such as the host went down that day, or they stopped buying paid traffic, or they recovered from a penalty. And then I look at some basic demographic information, look at what country the traffic is from, and ideally, you want it to be from the US because advertisers pay the most per page view for that. English-speaking countries are okay too, but if the traffic is all from India, you might want to do a double take because that usually it's either not high quality traffic or advertisers aren't willing to pay as much. Then I usually just quickly check the language the traffic is speaking, which if it was mostly from the US, it's likely English.
Google Analytics will tell you what language the visitors are speaking. Well, assuming the website is written in English, you'd think it would be English, but
yeah, I've never had that be contradictory. It's a language in the country, but I always kind of check. Then I like to check the acquisition report to see where the traffic is from. And this is probably the most important check. So you want to make sure the majority of the traffic is organic. And if it's social, that's also okay, but you just have to make sure the social thing is included in the sale. And social traffic is a lot more variable. I actually made a bid on a Pinterest-based site once, but they wouldn't be my first choice, especially if the traffic is from Instagram or Facebook. The algorithms with those sites change so much and they restrict traffic a lot, so I wouldn't recommend it. But if it's all paid traffic or paid social or paid anything, I would not recommend buying the site at all.
And that's your bread and butter skill set is driving cheap paid clicks. Could be a tough nut to crack for somebody else's business. With the expired listings, that's an interesting strategy. Have you found that these site owners are more open to negotiation because they're like, hey, I listed it for 7 days, 30 days, however long the original auction was, and nobody bought it, but I still want to unload it?
Yeah, I think that's a huge plus about searching for the expired listings because these were people that wanted to sell their site, but then they didn't find anyone who actually wanted to buy it. I think that's one reason I've been able to buy all the sites I've bought at 20 times valuation or less, because the two successful sites that I ended up buying after my first two mistake sites were I bought the first one for a 20 times valuation, and then I doubled the revenue right away. So I made it back in 10 months. And then the second one, I bought at a 10 times valuation, and I just made it back in 12 months, which was last month.
Wow. That's a really quick return on investment, especially compared with traditional investing or even real estate investing. We're like, oh, I'm looking at a 14% cash on cash, and that would be great right now. But after that first year, everything is gravy. So that's pretty cool. More with Stacy in just a moment, including the tactics she uses to quickly increase the revenue of the sites she buys right after this. Some days I feel like being a business owner is really like being a firefighter in chief, just in dealing with all the issues and responsibilities that come with the job. And one way to make life a little easier is to take advantage of our sponsor, Gusto's payroll and HR services. Designed specifically for side hustlers and small business owners, Gusto takes the pain out of running a business. I'm talking about automatically calculating paychecks, filing payroll taxes, onboarding and benefits to take the best care of your team, whether they're 1099 or W-2 workers. Plus, Gusto comes with on-demand access to HR experts. So if anything comes up, like those fires need putting out, you've got someone in your corner. And how about some safety in numbers? Gusto is trusted by over 300,000 small businesses, and 94% of them would recommend it to a friend. And 3 out of 4 customers say it takes less than 10 minutes to run payroll, which means a lot more time to focus on the stuff you love. Now, here's the best part. As a Side Hustle Show listener, you get 3 months totally free. All you got to do is go to gusto.com/sidehustle. That's gusto, gusto.com/sidehustle. You're going to love it. Head on over to gusto.com/sidehustle to claim that offer and get started today. I love the holiday season, but one thing that's in short supply is time. We've got parties, decorating, shopping, kids, basketball, school concerts, ski season, and that's not to mention trying to run and grow a business. That's why I want to invite you to try Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service. These are nutritious, chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. That means you can skip the extra trip to the grocery store and save time on the prep and cleanup while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So all you got to do is heat and enjoy. A friend of mine gave me a line I'll never forget. Why are you still chopping? Every week, you can choose from over 35 meals that support a healthy lifestyle and meet your dietary preferences, including keto, vegan and vegetarian options, protein plus, calorie smart, and more. We tend to opt for the dinner options, but they've got great tasting and healthy breakfast and lunches too, if you really want to outsource all your meal prep. Give it a try today to buy back some of your time or kickstart some new healthy eating habits. Head over to factormeals.com/sidehustle50 and use code sidehustle50 to get 50% off. That's code sidehustle50 at factormeals.com/sidehustle50 to get 50% off. And big thanks to Factor for sponsoring the show. There are two parts to building a successful side hustle. First, you need a plan and some structure around your days. And second, you got to be able to adapt to whatever challenges come up. It's like the Mike Tyson quote, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Well, one thing that I found helpful for that second part is Amy Poehler's new class on Masterclass called Prepare to be Unprepared. In it, she shares how improv principles can help you push past fear, find your people, and go all in on the life you want. Because despite our best intentions, there's still a lot of improv day to day. With our sponsor, Masterclass, you'll learn from the best to become your best. I'm talking about world-class instructors like James Clear, Sarah Blakely, Ray Dalio, Jocko Willink, and many, many more. The classes cover everything from leadership to cooking, negotiation to health and wellness, all starting at just $10 a month for unlimited access. And if you're looking for a meaningful gift this holiday season, Masterclass fits that bill both for you and anyone on your list. I've been picking and choosing from over 180 classes on Masterclass, with new ones added every month, like Michael Pollan's class on intentional eating that was really eye-opening on where our food comes from, what's in it, and how we can better fuel our bodies and minds. This holiday season, give one annual membership and get one free at masterclass.com/hustlepod. Right now, you can get 2 memberships for the price of 1 at masterclass.com/hustlepod. masterclass.com/hustlepod. Offer terms apply. Are you niche agnostic when you're looking for these sites? Like, here's a site about dog walking, or here's a site about, well, maybe not the app development or that one specific app, but I'm curious, outside of all this criteria, are there specific areas of content that you really like or that you won't touch?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I only touch things that I personally understand and can wrap my head around. I think that's really important. So I would never buy a site that gives people software to do something, for example, because I don't code software or personally understand that. I look at something, and if I know how to do it and understand it, then I'll consider purchasing it, even if it's an industry that most people would just say, oh, that's not interesting enough, or that's not something that I'm interested. I don't care if I'm interested in it. I just care if I understand it and can create content around it, or just understand why people are coming there and understand the actual content. So that's important to me.
Okay. Is there a sticker price on these sites? Like, hey, the asking price is $10,000 for this thing that's making $500 a month. And you can open negotiations from there. I assume Flippa has a messaging system built in. Or is it all more opaque? This is how much it's making. Make your offer.
The site owner can put a buy now price on a listing. And if you think that the buy now price is worth it, and they can set that at whatever multiple they want. And if you think that price is worth it, then you can just click buy now, put your credit card in, and start the purchase agreement. I've never actually done that. I do the expired listings and I message the person, and then I kind of message them with an offer around 20 times, and I make a note of telling them, hey, 20 times the monthly profit valuation is the going rate. Would you be interested in this offer? And then they usually will either do a counter, or they'll say, yes, that sounds good to me. And then you can kind of negotiate or just kind of do it. And then they will set the buy now price to what you negotiated. And then you just click buy now and complete the purchase. If you go the normal route, then there will be a minimum price, and then people will keep increasing bids until the auction ends. But you can also, even if you're in a live auction, you can always click buy now and pay the auctioneer's buy now price. So that's always an option if you really want a site.
Okay. What does that transfer process look like after you say, okay, I'm gonna make this deal, it checks all the boxes for me, and I'm gonna go for it?
It's not too bad, but it's a little complex. So if you're the person buying the site, you'll start the transfer of your funds into escrow. You can choose how you want to pay. If you pay by credit card, there is around a few percent fee. If you buy a site that's $10,000 or more dollars, you end up paying $300 or $400 in credit card escrow fees. So I wouldn't recommend that unless you really don't trust the process, because you know credit cards are so forgiving. And if there's a mistake, they can issue you a refund and everything. But I would recommend I usually do the wire transfer option. I bought a few of the smaller sites. I did do the credit card option. But yeah, you can do wire transfer or credit card, and there's no fee for the wire transfer. Once your money's in escrow, the person will start the transfer to you. Basically, they'll just transfer you the domain name, and you'll likely have to pay for that. If you use the same domain registrar that they use, it's a simple process, and you just click accept, transfer the site files to you. Usually, they'll just upload that in a zip file, and I'm not a developer, so I hire someone to take those zip files and put it into my host for me. I like the host Hawkhost for big accounts, the semi-dedicated VPN. And then I also like a small Orange for smaller accounts. I mean, neither are perfect, but they're pretty good. So then I just hire someone to put the files in the host. And then you just configure the domain to be pointing to your host, and then that's the whole process.
Okay. You ever had any hiccups during that process?
No, I haven't had any hiccups because I have a really good developer who moves it all over.
Yeah, you don't want to risk traffic going down or messing up your rankings or anything like that. It's kind of critical to have a no downtime transfer.
Yeah. So basically, they'll still have all the site data in their host, and the domain name will be pointing at their host, and then you point it to your host. But say you have an issue and you point it to your host and it doesn't work, you could hypothetically just point the domain back to their host and everything would still work because they have all the content and data set up in their host still. So technically, once you point it to your host, it's yours and you own it, but you might want to ask them to delete the files on their host, because technically they still have the entire website and all the data. They could even set up the exact same site with a different domain name. So you'd want to make sure they don't do that.
Okay. And then for the money part of it, the AdSense part of it, is that as simple as installing a different code snippet? How does that work to get that from his AdSense account or her AdSense account to yours?
It's very simple. All you have to do is switch out the every person has a unique AdSense publisher ID number, and you can keep their exact ads and just switch out your publisher ID number code. Or if you want, you can just create an entire new ad code from your account and then put it in the same places that they've put it, or you can put it in more places or different places as well.
And that's kind of your strategy. That's kind of your game, is saying, how can I optimize the ad revenue? How can I monetize a little bit better than the previous owner to improve the cash flow, make my money back a little bit quicker?
There are a few just quick things I do to kind of double the revenue in a very short amount of time. I'll check the site speed using tools.pingdom.com. Site speed is a very big ranking factor, especially on mobile. So when you speed up a site right away, your mobile rankings can really shoot up, which is great. A lot of the times, if it's a really slow loading site, I'll put it on Cloudflare, which is a free CDN, which is a content delivery network. It has a large computer network around the world, and it serves your sites from different locations. So we're closest to where the user is viewing your site. So it really speeds it up. So often I'll do that if the site has a speed issue. And then I'll also take a look at images and maybe use an image compression plugin, which you can get on WordPress to kind of decrease image size and speed up the site. But that's actually smaller compared to which ad network you're using. If you're using the AdSense ad network, I would recommend testing a few different ad networks. I like Monumetric, and I also like AdThrive. And then I have some relationships with ad providers. You should try testing one or two different ad networks for about 2 to 3 weeks and see if they make more than AdSense. And that can be a huge just initial boost.
As you're shopping these sites, you're like, oh, baby, it's super slow. Or look at these images. They're not even compressed. I know I can do better than that. Is that something that's going through your head early in the process? Or does that just come into play after the transfer is complete?
So site speed, big images, I don't really look at until after, although I suppose you could look at it before. I do look at the ads. So say they have tons of ads on their page and it's super spammy, I would more of stay away from that because I can't really increase the ad revenue through ad placement there. But I mean, I'd still look at it. Changing ad networks has a bigger effect, I think, than simply improving site speed. Unless the site is incredibly slow, then you could do a lot with site speed. Like if it's taking more than 10 seconds to load or so, then you can, site speed's going to give you a lot of leverage. But yeah, ad network is huge, and then ad placement is huge. So those are the two things when I'm looking at a site. Oh, yes, I know how to improve you right away.
Fair enough. And we should point out there are tons of resources on how to do that on Authority Hacker, Niche Pursuits, a bunch of sites in that vein. You ever played around with Ezoic for optimization?
Yeah, I do like Ezoic. It's great to test which ad placements are good for your site. I used it a little bit in the beginning, but now I kind of know the best ad placements and just use my experience. But I think it's great, especially for people who have never tested ad placement before. So I would definitely recommend it.
Okay. More with Stacey in just a moment, including how she manages this growing portfolio of sites and her plans for the future right after this. One of the biggest challenges as a creator is making enough to earn a living doing what you love. Our sponsor, Kajabi, makes it easy to diversify your revenue, build your own brand, and turn your audience into customers. Now, you've heard Kajabi recommended by several Side Hustle Show guests over the years, including Shane Sams, Spencer Russell, Nicole Whitworth, and others, but you might not know why it's something you might need in your life. So let me try and break that down. So what Kajabi is it's this powerful all-in-one software platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build recurring revenue online businesses. Whether you're selling online courses, membership sites and communities, private coaching or podcasts, or more. Plus, Kajabi also provides detailed analytics so you can figure out what's working and what's not working. You've got marketing tools like email, third-party integrations, and easy payment options. You don't need a huge audience to make a sustainable income online. In fact, there are thousands of creators on Kajabi making six and seven figures a year with less than 50,000 followers. Right now, Kajabi is offering a 30-day free trial to start your own business if you go to kajabi.com/sidehustle. That's kajabi.com/sidehustle. Go to kajabi.com/sidehustle to earn more doing what you love.
The Samsung Galaxy Buds FE are the perfect partner for your smartphone. Stay immersed thanks to active noise cancellation with AI technology that filters out unwanted background noise. Listen to your audio in comfort hour after hour with the new wingtip design and easy touch controls that make changing settings a breeze. That's a lot to love for just £99 RRP. The new Galaxy Buds FE. Buy now at Samsung.com.
So it sounds like you had some background in online marketing and the rest of it being self-taught. Any other skills you think were critical to this business that you brought to the table?
I think that anyone could probably learn how to do this. You don't necessarily need the background in online marketing that I have, although I think it definitely helped. I think that my SEO skills are actually a huge part of my success here, especially for sites not just in the first few weeks doubling the revenue, but really long term. Being able to do keyword research, it's huge. Knowing how to write engaging content for the site and just doing that consistently, I think are two skills that if you have SEO skills, you're in a really good position to help your site grow long term.
Yeah, absolutely. Any recommendations for places to learn that stuff? Or is that something you learned on the job or just trial and error?
Interestingly, I actually learned it all online through reading blogs and things, because my job was specifically running paid ads and paid traffic. My favorite all-time SEO resource is Brian Dean of Backlinko. If you read all his content and listen to all his YouTube videos, I think you're in a really good place for SEO.
Famously, he only has like 35 posts or something, but each one is a book. So you'll definitely learn a lot by reading Brian's stuff. You touched on another point, and that was the content creation side of it. Like, so now this is yours. A website is a living, breathing thing, and it rarely is 100% passive. You're going to add content to it. Are you doing that writing yourself? Are you farming out to ghostwriters or freelance writers? How does that piece of the pie work for you these days?
Yeah, a lot of people will outsource all of their writing and all of their content. But I've actually found that when you outsource it, the content really decreases in quality and it becomes a lot less engaging. And interestingly enough, those are both ranking factors that Google uses. Google puts a lot of emphasis on time on site, number of page views, and how engaged people are. So aside from the cost, doing it yourself is a lot cheaper. I think it really increases the quality of your site if you're able to do it yourself. Yeah, I actually do all my content myself. Maybe at some point I would consider outsourcing, but right now I've just found it to be a lot more effective to do it yourself.
Okay. What's that look like in terms of the time that you're spending on it?
I like to write about 2 posts a day sometimes and just spread it across my sites. That's pretty much my goal. If I'm in a really content push mode, I've done up to 5 posts a day, but I found that to be a little bit too intensive for every single day.
And there's 4 sites in the portfolio right now?
Yeah, I have 4 or 5 main sites.
Okay. I just imagine as this mini hedge fund continues to grow, 3 to 4 or 5, that seems manageable. But if you had like 10, 15 and trying to, okay, this post goes here, like all of a sudden that sounds a little bit more challenging. But that probably leads me to the next question. Is that the goal to continue building this portfolio? Or is it like, I'm going to just work on optimizing the properties that I have.
I've actually been really lucky with the properties I have right now, and they have so much potential where I can still just build them out and scale their revenue at the same time. I think once I hit the max, because every niche does have a max kind of number of keywords, we are going to have covered pretty much everything that has any volume. So once I hit that, which maybe it'll be 6 months or a year, so I might look at acquiring more sites. And if I start acquiring more than I can write for, then I would definitely consider outsourcing the writing and just editing it myself or trying to make it more engaging.
Well, I know you have some freelance writers listening to this who are probably going to reach out to you. So that's an opportunity for sure. So optimizing the existing stuff first, then expanding a little bit later. Knowing what you know, would you ever consider just building your own site from scratch? Or you kind of like this model of, look, I want something that's already got traffic, that's already got rankings, that's already cash flowing.
Yes, you're reading my mind here, because I actually started out buying the businesses because they were already successful. And it was my way to kind of be able to build on something that I already knew was making a profit, because sometimes it can be really hard to start something from scratch. And I have found a lot of success from this model of buying a successful website or business and then kind of improving it. But recently, I've actually registered 3 brand new domain names. This was like 6 months ago. And I've been kind of building their authority and giving them some articles. And I'm going to focus on building them from scratch, because once you know a really good niche and once you really know how to build a website's authority and create engaging content for it, there isn't as much of a reason to purchase a site, because you can build it up just as good yourself. But I think when you're starting out, and when I was starting out, I needed to buy something that was already working because I just didn't have the knowledge to do it myself. But now that I have so much more experience, I've started creating my own sites and I've already seen some success with this. And I think that they're going to end up being even more successful than ones that I've purchased.
Okay. You mentioned the site's authority, and once you know how to build that up, it's relatively straightforward. What do you see as the biggest factors in either building that authority or improving the authority for an existing site?
To build or improve a site's authority, you'll need to get links to your site. So there are several ways to do that. Brian Dean actually has some really, really good articles on ways to get links to your site. I'll quickly just kind of summarize my favorite methods that he's kind of taught. But one of his most famous methods that I really recommend is doing some keyword research and finding something that you want to rank for, and then looking at the existing articles for that keyword, and then seeing what they're missing and what you could add to an article that they don't already have, and then create the best article ever on that topic that includes absolutely everything, just like all of his huge ultimate SEO guides. Once you do that, it's much easier for it to rank because it'll be the most authoritative article and people will stay on your site reading it. And then you can also get links to it more easily. You can use a tool such as BuzzSumo to see who's already linked to the existing articles, and then do outreach to them to get them to link to you. And then also you should attract natural links if it's really the best topic. So I'd recommend having at least a few skyscraper articles on each site that you have, because you really want your sites to be high quality, and that's the best way to attract links. I also recommend using the service Harrow, Help a Reporter Out, where reporters will post queries that they need help with. And if you have expertise in that area, you can send them your advice and they'll often link back to you in exchange for it. If you have original images on your site, you can do reverse Google image search. And if people use your images on their site, you can do like a copyright notice to them and say, hey, that's totally fine that you're using my image, but if you do continue to use it, I'd like you to put this link as credit. So that's pretty effective too. But yeah, definitely look at Brian Dean link building, and he has hundreds of really good techniques.
Oh my gosh, this reverse image search thing. I don't think I've ever heard of that one. Not that I have much of my own original photography, but pretty cool. Especially if, yeah, you have a photo background or something. Okay, that's kind of cool. We should mention that you do have another site that maybe you consider part of the portfolio or not. Her.ceo is Stacy's home base online. That's an incredible three-letter domain or six-letter domain for one. But what's going on over there?
This is one of my newer sites, and I was really happy to be able to get the domain her.ceo because it's so short and catchy. So if you do buy your own domains, make sure to do really short ones because to me, they sound more professional and they're harder to get, I suppose, as well. But that site, I'm actually starting to interview some people who have successful side hustles or make some amount of profit each month from doing something online or even offline. And if you're interested in that, definitely send me an email, stacycaprio@gmail.com, or let me know. And I'd love to just talk more about that. It would just be like a quick email interview. So you wouldn't even have to talk to me or anything. And we could post that on the site. And of course, you'd get a link back to your site as well. So that's an opportunity.
And there you go. There's another way to build those links. Her.ceo, Stacy, again, thank you so much for joining me and enlightening me on this very cool business, this very cool portfolio that you're building that has allowed you to quit the job and become a full-time online entrepreneur. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Focus on profit and cash flow. Never spend more than you're making because that's not a sustainable way to build a business. And even if it starts out more slowly, I think you'll be more satisfied and have a healthier business in the long run if you can keep it cash flow positive.
Absolutely. That is the name of the game. Stacy, once again, thank you for joining me, and we'll catch up with you soon. Focus on profit and cash flow. Those are the lifeblood of your business. Without them, you're in trouble. All right, my top three takeaways from this call with Stacy. Number one is to have some criteria in mind. I thought Stacy's filtering criteria was really helpful to sort through the hundreds and hundreds of listings on Flippa. Now, even if you don't use her exact system, I'd recommend having some boxes to check that would be a good fit for you. In Stacy's case, she wanted to work with AdSense sites in a specific price range because she was confident she could quickly improve the earnings, meaning for her, the sites were undervalued. It's the Warren Buffett value investing approach, right? It's been a long time since I did any serious shopping on Flippa, but I think one thing that bogged me down before was not having any filter aside from price. Like, here's my maximum budget and I'm comfortable putting at risk. I don't know, but this side hustle really hasn't been high on my radar for a while, but this conversation has re-energized me to maybe take another look, especially if I could have a team to help me manage the site or sites. That's takeaway number one, have some filtering criteria in mind. Takeaway number two is to do your due diligence. Of course, there's always going to be some element of risk, but I don't want you to get burned. Stacy mentioned all the things she does to vet a site, including diving into the analytics and looking for red flags, which I thought was awesome, but I'd also try and figure out why the seller wants to get rid of it. The breadth of pages and keywords it ranks for. If the site has an unnatural link profile, like the last website I bought, which was in 2014, got nuked from the search results just a few months after I bought it when Google did an algorithm update. And the reason was it relied too heavily on PBN, a private blog network, links, and I never had the chance to recoup my initial investment. Now, I knew that going in and decided to take the risk anyways, but obviously in hindsight, not a smart move. So do your due diligence, figure out what level of risk you're comfortable with. And like Stacy said, probably best to start small instead of betting the farm on one big purchase. I like her strategy of replacing her income from a few different sources. Even if it's harder to manage, it's a way to spread the risk around. So that's takeaway number two, do your due diligence. Takeaway number three is active first, passive second. So the dream of owning an online business is that it can be hands-off, that elusive passive income, right? In the case of businesses like these, I think a more accurate name might be time-leveraged income. It's 100% true. The sites can generate traffic and ad clicks while you're asleep. That's passive and that's awesome. But there's always going to be some maintenance tasks to work on, content to add or update, and marketing to do to keep the sites ranking in Google or to grow the income from them. I mean, I'd be curious to catch up with Stacy in a couple years because it sounds like she's very much in the active stage right now, writing her own content, doing a lot of link building, putting in the work, almost like she bought herself a job, but just one that she likes instead of one that she dreaded going to. And I think doing that work is important. It makes the roles easier for her to hire for down the road because she knows what she's looking for. She knows how to do that task. So this isn't a passive income asset class, but it is a way to leverage your time and the existing capital resources that you have into something that can grow beyond hours for dollars. Active first, passive second. Once again, notes and links from this episode, along with the free PDF highlight reel with all of Stacy's top tips from the call, including her Flippa filtering criteria, are at sidehustlenation.com/Stacy. That's it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on. Can you say hustle on?
Hustle on.